Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. As always, I want to point out and acknowledge the fact that this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, February 23, 2025. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. And your mama too. All right. This podcast may not be for you. Okay. First and foremost, I need to acknowledge, I also need to acknowledge the most important piece of this thing of ours, this interaction, this relationship between podcaster and podcatcher, pod listener. And I'd just like to shout out and ask that all you listeners take a moment, take a break from, if you happen to hate yourself, take a break from that and just applaud yourself. If you can, look in the mirror and just applaud your beautiful selves. And if you happen to be a first-time listener, I wish you welcome. I want to tell you welcome. And, yeah, you know what? Even if you clicked on this podcast by mistake. So, yeah, welcome. And my hope is that at some point during this episode, I say something that resonates and leads us to making history. That's the hope. That's the dream. That's the dream, all right? Dare to dream, kids. Dare to dreams, all right? So, again, welcome. Yay! Okay. Did I mention shutuppodcast.com is the website and email address, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Send all your complaints, concerns, and nudes to that email address. I don't know why I said that last part. Oh, because I'm immature. That's why. Okay. Today's episode is titled 243, and I'll be honest with you, I am not sure, again, I'm not sure what I'm going to title this one. I'm going to let the inspiration take me. All I know is I will be, today's feature thought will be focused on, will be about a clip I saw on TikTok, and that left me speechless and full of thoughts about sobriety. Well, yeah, sobriety. Yeah, but let's start with a bit of quote. But you know what? Let me, before I start with quotes and randomness, and you know, all right, for those unfamiliar, I do some quotes, randomness, and then I get into the feature thought. But I gotta be honest with you, man. I was, what time is it? It's like 8:19 after 8 o'clock, 8:19. And I caught myself like, well, first of all, realizing I have an allergen problem going on in here, but that's another story. I caught myself, like, dragging my feet to record. And I used to think that I was scared of what I wasn't going to say. But now I find that I'm also scared of what I am going to say. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, but it is what it is. But whatever, man. It's, look, I initiated this journey, so let's see where it takes us. I guess maybe I need to get in the habit of saying shit like, it's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show. Let's make history together. Some shit like that. All right, okay. Pat yourself on the back, B. All right, okay. Quotes. Let's start with some quotes. First quote goes, if people don't match your vibe, change the people, not the vibe. Fearless impact. Shout out to my man Talon Macy for sharing this. Second quote goes, it is one of those trauma says, healing says. Trauma says, if I'm a good person, I should be more tolerant of things. Healing says, we need to stop associating goodness with how much we are willing to tolerate in silence. You can be a kind person and still say, hey, I'm not okay with this. Oh, my God. Perfect. Oh, yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, okay. You know what? This deserves a booyaka shot. Booyaka shot. Okay. All right, that's it for quotes. Let's jump into some randomness, okay, all over the place. All right, this one is, I'm going to file this under church ratchetness. Now, I don't make a, I talk about a segment on this podcast called church ratchetness, but I don't make enough of a big deal out of it. But just to introduce it, church ratchetness is a segment I dedicate to talking shit about the church. Why? Because I'm a pastor's kid, and that's what pastor's kid do. If we're not having babies out of wedlock, contradicting ourselves, we're just talking shit about the church. And, yeah. Yeah, okay. Where was I? Yeah, okay. So, I'm just going to play this clip, and honestly, it says it all. We'll just take it away from there, okay? This clip, I guess I should introduce it, just a little background. Okay, content creator's name is easily distracted. Tattooed Tears Jeans.
Just a reminder that Christianity is a white supremacist cult and that your sincerely held beliefs are actually a mental illness caused by generational abuse. The church has never had the moral high ground as they essayed, burned, and pillaged their way through history and currently function as a real estate hoarding tax shelter that protects pedophiles.
Did you hear that? Links are in the show notes. You can play it for yourselves. But hearing that clip just reminded me of, I mentioned I was a former Christian, and that's why I have a church ratchetness segment. And yeah, it reminded me of how much I struggled growing up Christian. No, how much I struggled with the concept of the truth. Because on one end, I was aware of shit like Jesus wasn't actually white, or the atrocity committed by the church in the past, and how it's forgiven it, or like, you know, revenge is for the Lord, and we're like, yeah, it kind of sounds like I was repressing the fact that, okay, God is all good and shit, but kind of sounds like he's favoring white people more than us. My point is, that clip just reminded me how, on the list of reasons, the long list of reasons on why I became a former Christian, is because I was tired of pretending like truth and Christianity were compatible. It was one or the other, and I was just tired of lying to myself about that shit. And all right, okay. That's it for church ratchetness. And by the way, for those of you going, hey, you stole that title from the Black Guy Who Tips. And I remind you that, no, they have sword ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. All right? They're McDonald's. I'm McDowell's. Let's leave it at that. Okay. Okay, this next one is 5 signs of an energy vampire and how to cope. Now, it's something that I wanted to take on the last episode. But instead, what I'm going to do is encourage you, links are in the show notes, to read it for yourself if you're into that kind of thing. But I'm going to link it to something that I said on a previous episode where I talked about how I had dinner with a friend. And I was explaining to them how a particular colleague, someone that I know, or the scenario of ever meet someone and they drain the fuck out of you. I was trying to use that that clip of Seinfeld when George meets the old man and old man is all positive and George is all Captain Negative and shit like that. Anyways, and I remember explaining it to my friend and he was oblivious to the idea. It's like, I remember him just saying, I don't let people get to me like that. And I didn't understand how that was possible till I later looked up the term Energy Vampire. By the way, shout out to my homegirl CEO for the term. She had used the term a long time ago, and it bounced back in my head. But yes, Energy Vampire is a thing. And in the article, I'll just read the first two paragraphs. Where they explain. Okay, so what is an energy vampire? Because energy vampires are people who sap your emotional energy, either intentionally or unconsciously. They could be friends, family members, partners, colleagues, or neighbors, who feed on your care and attention, and leave you feeling stressed, drained, exhausted, and overwhelmed. Relationships with energy vampires are often toxic. Often. They're not always? Oh, interesting. They can cause you to feel physically and emotionally drained, particularly if you are an empath and highly attuned to the emotions of people around you. And that paragraph is what made me realize why the friend in particular couldn't relate to what I was or couldn't understand what I'm saying is, I'm an empath. I didn't know I was, but apparently that's the definition. It's like I'm a sponge for how people feel. Anyway, whatever. Again, if you're a fellow empath, I'm going to pretend like I'm talking to a fellow empath. So I'm going to encourage you to read the article, but speaking from my own experience is what makes coping with these people, energy vampires, difficult for someone like me is because I grew up in a household, in a church community where it was filled with energy vampires. And the important part is, the thing is, they had to be tolerated. They were in positions where they had to be tolerated. And I'm thinking of this one. Yeah. No, they just. Part of my difficulty in dealing with them has been the fact that I grew up with the notion, I don't know if this was intentional, but love equaled putting down your boundaries. So if you put up your boundaries, it was not a sign of love. You were being mean. If you were asserting yourself, you were being selfish. All this to say that I have a long road to go before I can navigate through a world of energy vampires. But what do you do when they're your boss? What do you do when they're, it's, again, I guess to my friend, he would say, I don't know. I don't let people get to me like that. Anyways, I just shout out to the fellow empath who struggle with that, and maybe we should make a community center, a support group for each other. But yeah, again, going back to church ratchetness, it just reminded me of if I do have negative feelings about the church, it's because of my negative experiences with the church, and some of them were. I thought it was God's love to tolerate energy. Like, they would convince you that, oh my God, worst people in the world. That if, God wants you to tolerate me as an energy vampire. Of course, they don't see this. And that's the thing is, you can't call them energy vampires or remind them that they're energy vampires, because then you're a bad person. Anyway, you know what? And that's why I didn't share it on the last episode, is because I knew it was a complicated thought. And I'm just going to leave it at that, because I'm struggling to see what I'm trying to understand what I'm trying to say. But yeah, I really want to focus on that clip that I just shared earlier. So, all right, let's skip to the next item. If you notice, lately I've been keeping my randomness kind of short. I mean, less item, because I could talk. Anyways, next article is Mega Outrage. This is from Variety, right? Mega outrage over Tom Hanks' SNL sketch is understandable, says Joy Behar. Behar, yeah. They made anyone who voted for Trump look like a racist. You know what? Let me play this one, and we'll take it. On second thought, I'm just gonna encourage you to read it for yourself, and I'll just summarize the story. Long story short is, like the headline said, Tom Hanks has a character on SNL called Doug, and he played on Black Jeopardy, and it's actually a funny skit. I think Michael Che wrote it, but funny skit, whatever, clever skit. And now that I think about it, it's makes me giggle, right? So he plays a Trump supporter, and I guess the first segment, what made white people enjoy it is because what made it funny is because at a certain point, the joke was how, oh shit, this Trump supporter has a lot in common with black people. And and in the second segment, it was the same idea, whatever, right? The comical, right? But what's funny is, and he did that in the last, I believe he did that in the first skit. The host, the black host, the Jeopardy host, comes to shake, black Jeopardy host, goes to shake the Trump supporter's hand, and he pushes back. Okay, I'll just get to the point. It's the fucking nerves of Trump supporters to be like, oh, you, this shit is making us all look racist. Are you fucking kidding? You know, okay. And then to add to it, then you have this lady, Joy Behar from The View. And she weighed in on, here, I'll read the actual quote. It says, hold on, okay. The fact remains that they're making anyone who voted for Trump look like a racist. Hold on a second.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
Anyways, and that's why they're mad. Behar said about the backlash, I personally would never do that because I don't believe that any group is one thing. A lot of people who voted for Trump, in my opinion, have been misled twice. She continued, they thought that grocery price would come down and they're up. You know what? Okay, fuck it, because it's pissing me off reading this the more I'm reading it. But essentially, she's being a Trump supporter is trying to give Trump supporters a pass on their tolerance for racism. In Ottawa, when the convoy came to Ottawa the first day, they had Trump supporters. They had people waving American flag. They had people waving the battle flag, the Confederate flag. Don't tread on us. All kinds of racist symbols, right? And when they got called on it, they're like, "Well, no, it was just a segment. It wasn't all of it. It was just a segment. We're not racist." Because I remember, yeah, even Trudeau called them out on their racism. And the focus was them being called racist. It's like I want to yell. I don't understand white people, but I do. To this extent. It's if I'm angry, if I'm upset, it's because one, I'm used to the we're not all white people, we're not all racist. Or the being called racist is racist. Or being called racist is counterproductive. Or being called racist, it's a cop shoots a black kid, you call him racist, and the whole focus is on the fact that we call them race, the cop racist, as opposed to the fact he committed an injustice. If I'm angry by all this, it goes back to something that I read on the last episode. I talked about It's No Accident. As in education, it's no accident that you learned about Helen Keller instead of W.B. Du Bois. You learned about the Watts riot. You learned about the Watts and L.A. riots, but not Tulsa, Wilmington. Or Wilmington. You learned about George Washington's dentures were made from wood rather than the teeth from the slaves. Look, my point is, on the war, on the fight against racism, it's impossible to take white people serious whenever they say, oh yeah, racism is bad. It reminds me of the relationship between Christianity and white supremacy and my inability to bring truth. To believe that, okay, truth is incompatible with this fucking religion. Where I'm going with this is the Joy Behar of the world are the reason why racism is here to stay. They'll yell, scream, cry to the blue in the faces. No, I think racism is wrong. But when it comes to doing solutions like pointing it out, getting people to like do some self-introspection and be like, yo, I have this fucking disease in me. No, you want to give them a back out. It's just so... Black Guy Who Tips, Three Guys On, podcast I listen to a lot frequently, they covered this story. And I shared their sentiment. It's hard for me to get through this. Okay, I said it's hard for me to get through this segment, but I'll tough it out. One, this is Trump's second term. Not his first term, second term. At this point, if you still fucking, if you're still defending, if you're still on this, not all Trump supporters are racist. You're counterproductive. When I brought up the convoy and all the racist symbols that were around and on how defensive these people got about racism, the part that they're missing is how comfortable racist people felt in that environment. This one time I walked in, this was in Ottawa, I got on the bus and it was a dude wearing a Confed flag sitting in front, whatever. And the bus was packed. And I see the Confed flag and I see a sea of white people. Most of them looking at me going, what's that nigger gonna do? I ain't do shit. Cause I don't know which one of you crackers are with him. Which one of you motherfuckers are gonna be like, oh, black guy started it. As far as I'm concerned, if I walk into a room, one white guy is wearing a Confederate flag, a Confederate hat symbol, you're all fucking racist. My back is against the wall. Now, I want to tell you that I wanted to get off the, I got off the, at the next stop. But I was on my first one, first one to move wrong, pow. But that's been my history. This is why I don't give white people awards for being a quote unquote ally. Because they tell me they're allies. No, you're not an ally till you're in the trenches, dying in the trenches with me. Till the bullets are also coming your way. Now, you're a fucking spectator. You're an enabler. You're the white guy standing between the Klan and black people talking about, can we compromise? Yeah, I know it's infuriating, folks. It's just very infuriating. Sorry, so to try to cheer me up, not cheer me up is the because I have no choice. I have to laugh to keep me from crying. There's this dude I always see him at Trump rallies, light skinned dude, bald headed dude. His name is apparently David J. Harris Jr. and he's like a Trump dick rider. Like, oh my God. Anyway, so there's a clip of Trump. I don't know if he did that shit on purpose. There's a clip of Trump inviting him up front to say a few words. And this dude is like expressing all kinds of gratitude. Trump, you're the man. Oh my God, Jesus sake, you make that freaking ridiculous. Whatever, man. You could tell it was very emotional for this brother. And then when he was done, he was going to give him a handshake. I could tell he was going to go for a hug. And Trump was like, whoa, you're too close, man. But no, not all Trump supporters are, oh, fuck. Okay, last point I'm going to make, man. I ain't trying to hear shit about how, yo, these people wanted gas prices, wanted the price of eggs to go down. Look, be racist. Sometimes I want to give white people permission, be fucking racist. Dear white people, let your white racist friends be racist. If you're a restaurant, you don't want black people in your restaurant, put a whites only sign. Because I don't like fucking discovery after. I don't want to hear my grandpappy fought with the, you know, I don't want to hear how you're not, it's another reason why I learned to trust actions over words. I ain't trying to hear you talk my ears off about how you're one of the good ones. I need to see that shit. Right. Okay. Where I was going with this is I don't buy it. And then again, you know, I'm too exhausted to do the examination. But at this point, Trump, especially after what he did the first term, Trump was just a convenient excuse these people used to not vote for Kamala. Kamala had a plan. At the very fucking least, she had a plan. Or she looked like she got shit to lose. But some of these people said, you know what? I don't trust that black chick. Let me trust this white man who's been making promises. That's what gets me the most is that first term when he ran for president, all kinds of promises. How many did he get done? I don't know, but I know it wasn't. I know it wasn't enough for him to make a comeback. Second, he made the same promises. Look, the rest of the world, it is kind of interesting, fascinating looking at the United States and Donald Trump as an outsider. And I swear it's like, I was going to say the rest of the world. I'm going to say the rest of the decent world, because Trump has fans. The undecent humans love Trump. Not just Americans, but the undecent, indecent human, the deplorable portion of humankind. Just make it about me, the energy vampires. The toxic, people with toxic trait love Trump. Now, I'm not saying that. Sure, there are liberal people who are toxic and stuff like that. I get it. But my point is, the demographic of Trump is toxicness. Oh, as an outsider, I'm looking at the United States like the friend who went back to their ex, to their abusive, toxic ex that took them back after you were convinced they made progress. No, they took them back. And all you can do is set boundaries and say shit like, yo, I love you, but don't fucking call me at 3 a.m. the next time he reminds you why you left him in the first place. Talking about, can you help me move? Nah, fuck that. You built the maze you can't get through. I try to help you all I can. But I can't do nothing for you, man. Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. That's all I'm going to say, man. The SNL skit was funny. The adding that layer of the Trump supporter backing away. And it wasn't even like, I'm surprised they did. Yes, sure. There are some Trump supporters. There's enough Trump supporters who are fucking racist, who are okay with racism, who don't think racism is a big deal. There's enough of them to justify that skit, for that skit to be truthful and fucking funny. But you motherfuckers want to act like, again, I'm going to bring it back. This is why whenever I hear a white person talking about how racism is bad, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm like, in my mind, I'm hearing bullshit. And don't tell me, show me. The bar's raised, white people. Don't fucking tell me how much you hate racism. Show me. And I don't want I'm not talking symbolic shit. I want Klan calling you. I'm like, yo, we're burning you down, you N-word lover. When they're calling you N-word lovers, that's now you're warm. You're not there, but you're warmer. When racist people feel uncomfortable around you, now we're getting warmer. I think that's the difference. I'm not looking for white people who are against racism. I'm talking anti-racism. I'm not for racism. No, I need you to be anti-racist. That means some of that anti-racism is also doing some self-check. And you know what is, okay, last point, is I'm not the type, well, I guess I am now, but I don't like being Mr. Here's what you need to fix in yourself. I got my own problems I need to deal with. But I do have a problem with these white people who like show up as your friend and say bullshit shit like, oh, not all Trump support. I don't want to put them all in a group, or say some white fragility bullshit. Ah. Hey, B, you talk a lot about racism. You know why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. All right, I have to remind myself that, yes, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to express that anger and frustration on this microphone and make sure I hit record and put that shit online. Just makes me want to holler. Makes me want to holler. All right, okay. Let's that's it for randomness. Let's jump to featured thought. I'm laughing because I know on the last episode I referred to featured thought as news and random thoughts. I'm not high, but I tend to forget things. I tend to misspeak, and I misspoke. All right, okay. Let's take a quick break and let you hear a word from our sponsors. I'm lying. I don't have any sponsors, but this is where I would have a sponsor. But my point is, I'm taking a chronic break. No, I'm not getting high, but I'm taking a break. All right. And we'll talk about feature thought. All right. Here we go. I'm back. And I'm back. Last time I used, I can't remember what I used for I'm back, but I need to work on I need to find a clip for I'm back. I'm back. Okay. All right, I'm going to listen to it's a 5-minute clip, but I'm going to fix this. You're going to hear a portion of it because it's I'd rather you watch the video yourself, but I'm going to play a portion of the clip, and it's about a woman who talks about being 240 days sober, and we'll take it from there.
Hi, my name is Katie, and I'm more than just an alcoholic, but today I have been sober for 240 days. This is an honest one. Yeah, I'm not doing well. I haven't been for a couple of weeks. I am struggling with the fact that I am an alcoholic, and that I always will be, and that I can't ever have a drink again, because if I do, it'll be a downward spiral. Again. But you know what? I fucking want to.
All right, I just heard the whole thing, but to you, listener, is I'm gonna chop it up in a way where you're gonna hear probably the first few seconds, because one is you gotta hear it for yourselves. You're gonna have to hear it for yourself if you haven't heard it already. Two. The stuff I'm going to talk about is likely not what you're going to want to talk about if you hear the whole thing. Like, you're going to need to process what she said. And so this is my second time hearing the message. And my first thought was powerful. Powerful. I don't think there will ever be. When I start this show and say, thank you, listeners, and then first-time listeners, and I say shit like, hoping I say something that resonates and leads us to change the to make history. I don't think I will ever have an episode that's going to be as real as what that woman just shared. That's powerful. That's a level of vulnerability. Like, it's from the heart. It's from the heart. It's, I don't think I want to get to that level. I don't think I ever want to preach something that's that powerful. It's a paradox. Like I said, I just heard it, and I'm gathering my thoughts at the same time. You know, I'm just going to go with what I wrote. Is the honesty makes me want to cry. I think, like I said, the first time I heard it, I was speechless. I was speechless. A lot of thoughts, but my biggest thought was resisting the urge, my Christian upbringing urge, to say some stupid shit, like to make it sound like I know what she's going through, or to say some bullshit like hang in there, or say something to make myself feel comfortable, because that was not her intention. That was a journal. That was a journal entry that we were it was on Monday. Shit, so that must have, so 7 days ago, well, I'll be 6 days ago. And let me just get the days that she posted this. 6 days ago, yep. Oh my God. The name of the content creator is her name is Kate Garn. Kate_Garn. And caption goes, day 40, FYP, sober recovery. Okay. Recover is impossible. Okay. First time I'm going to say is, I remember watching The Wire. Great show. Again, we can't be friends. You can't be a fan if you haven't seen The Wire. Or if you've seen The Wire and you don't think it's the greatest show ever made. Anyway, whatever. And they touched on the theme of addiction and recovery. The Sopranos touched on that theme too. And I believe they did a good job on both cases. From my perspective. Now, I'm not coming from the perspective of an addict. I mean, I've had my share of addiction, but they weren't the kind that, like, they were minor. They were like I'll call it lowercase addiction. Lowercase A addiction. Like, what I'm saying is, it was closer to a bad habit more than it were an addiction, and the cost, the price for what's that word? Falling back? No, for backsliding, for using again, wasn't as damaging as it would be for someone like her. Anyway, where was I saying? Yes. I was speechless with full of thoughts, but I had to hold back on the urge of, because she said that. She said, motherfucker, I'm paraphrasing. I don't want to be preached at. I'm not putting this out to hear you say some bullshit shit about like, oh, it's going to be all right or whatever. I'm telling you what I'm going through. See, what's amazing about what she's sharing, and if you're an empath, if you like understand empathy, you will think about the people out there in the world who are going through what she's going through, but have no means to articulate, to put it into words like she did. That's powerful shit. She's sharing this for other people going through what she's going through. It's an amazing thing. I think some of you folks don't understand this, man. It's an amazing thing what she just shared with the rest of us. In the comment section, and I'm wondering if I should have done that. This is like one of those things that, yo, you're better off just shutting the fuck up and just listen. Like this podcast. This is what I mean when I say that this is a safe space for my thoughts. Something you want to hear it, shut the fuck up, something like that, whatever. Like, her behind that camera was her safe space. Like I said, I don't think I'm ever going to have an episode that's going to be as real as what she just shared. But yeah, in the comment section, because I was trying to find my feeling. Oh, I'm thinking about it. She says, saying shit, I don't want to preach that. She says, I'm craving it, I'm fighting it, and it's making me angry. I know that. Because there's a part of your brain that's saying, wait, why the fuck are we... What do you mean it's an addiction? Why is it a bad thing? Why the fuck are we stopping ourselves from enjoying what we want to enjoy? It's like there's a sense your brain is telling you you're entitled to that shit. And she talks about how she doesn't have any friends. She wants friends, but she doesn't want to spend all day bitch talking about how... I'm using her words. telling people about her struggle, because she's on a lonely journey, man. It's a lonely. Where was I? Yeah, the other reason why I was full of thought is because the empath in me can sense her distress, and the only thing I can think about is, and that I put in the comment section, I still mean what I said, is that I say this as someone who's on his own healing journey. I'm rooting for you. That's all I could say. I'm rooting for you. Whatever happens, I'm rooting for you. It's the best I can say. I am rooting for you. I'm hoping you climb out of this thing. I'm hoping you make it. I guess I'm realizing that The Wire, that touched on this theme, I have, and I'm not sure fascination is the right word for this, but I have a, it's not fast, I have a, I think bottom line is, there's a lot we can learn, or we should learn, from people struggling with sobriety, people in recovery. Some folks look, there's a strength that they have. I have more of an admiration for people who've been through it. I think that's what bothered me, bringing back the theme of churches. I was being preached to by a bunch of motherfuckers who, if they were going through it, they didn't admit it. Or the way they went through it is by looking down by other people, by hiding it, by not having that woman's courage. They would just hide it and spend their time probably dissing other addicts, other people with issues, pointing their fingers at everyone else but themselves. No introspection. Common, the rapper Common, he's got a line where he says, I forget the name of the song, but he goes, I'm the preacher who used to be something, who used to be an addict. And there was something about that verse about, that's the preacher I want to hear from. Because that motherfucker knows what the fuck he's talking about. He's got stories about, he or she's got story about getting back up. Yeah, I was tired of being preached to by people who didn't, who had like a shallow understanding of life and existence. All right, just turn it to God. It's more complicated than that. I got homicidal thoughts in my mind, pastor. No, revenge is for the Lord. I don't think you're not hearing me. Yeah, I was saying there's a lot we can learn from people in recovery. And when I use the word fascination, but there's, fascination is the wrong word, but I'm just saying, but there's a curiosity on my part about the world of addiction and recovery. And I don't mean like as a spectator, but more as a, what it takes to be able to like climb out of that hole. It's like, let me put it this way. So some folks will read a book about Elon, and not to say that, okay, Elon Musk is the wrong person, but the person who climbs Mount Everest, I'm more impressed by the person who climbs out of the deep crevice, the hole that life put them in, started them at. The person who could tell you like, oh yeah, no, I got scars. I'm not trying to say one is better than the other, but I am saying that for me, there's something worth acknowledging, celebrating, and being inspired by. Yeah, I said it. All right, okay. I'm going to wrap this up because, like I said, ain't more I can say. Just all I know is I felt speechless, and this segment is my attempt to try to put into words what I believe I was feeling. If anyone else is going through what this woman's going through, all I could say is, I'm rooting for you. I'm gonna put in the show notes under her that clip. It's called 240 Days Sober. I'm gonna put the clip from The Wire of Waylon giving a speech at Recovery Group. I mean, sure, yes, he was an actor, but I felt, you know, something about that felt real. All right, this concludes today's episode. Before I leave, I want to remind you that check out the show notes and the other links section. In today's other links, I have one link about the true meaning behind Kendrick Lamar's halftime show. That's right, more Kendrick. Shit. Oh, man, there's a part about Kendrick's song, Show Me What's Real, something about how, show me. I think that's what I'm about. I'm tired of the shallow fakeness. I like real shit, like that clip I just shared. Real emotions, real people going for real things, struggling, trying to keep their head above water. That's what gets my attention, but whatever. Okay. I also have a section, You Must Learn, not just because it's Black History Month, but, you know, it's black people shit. And I like the idea that a white person might hear this podcast and their first thought is nigger shit. That's the point. I'm tired of translating it for you folks. All right, okay. And last in the other links is humor, but this one is in French. So shout out to my bilingual people. C'est très comique. Ça va vous faire rigoler. All right. Again, this concludes today's episode. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? If you heard that Outcast album and heard that segment by Big Rube and that shit resonated with you, I'm representing and holding it down for y'all. Again, this episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too if you're on that. Not all Trump supporters are racist. At this point, it doesn't matter. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.